Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. After unemployment insurance, the food stamp program is the most direct and responsive federal program that helps low-income and disability populations buy food. Because of the economic downturn in the past 3 years, the food stamp program has grown by 47%, feeding 46 million Americans every year, including 23 million children. The original food stamp program ran from 1939 to 1943 to help millions affected by the Great Depression. Food stamps were not reinstated until the 1960s. In 1964, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Food Stamp Act and declared an unconditional war on poverty. But the program has recently come under attack. Earlier this month, the House passed a measure which would tighten eligibility requirements and cut the food stamp budget by 4% or $35 billion over the next 10 years. And you may recall Newt Gingrich calling President Obama the, quote, food stamp president. And just last week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced plans to crack down on food stamp fraud by giving the states more power to investigate people who repeatedly claim to lose their benefit cards. But what's rarely mentioned in stories about food stamps is that we're talking about an average of $1.20 a meal. Is it even possible to eat healthy when you have $1.20 to spend on each meal? Is it even possible to fill your stomach? Well, those are the questions today's guests, Yoav and Shira Potash, aim to find out. They spent a week eating on a food stamp budget, and they've chronicled their experience in the new documentary film, Food Stamped. Yoav Potash is an award-winning filmmaker, writer, and social justice advocate. His debut documentary, Crime After Crime, has won a dozen major film festival awards. It's about the legal battle to free a victim of abuse from a California prison, and we did a show about this film just a couple of weeks ago, and Yoav Potash joins us in studio. Hi, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you, and congratulations on this new film.
Thank you.
We're also joined by Shira Potash, a certified nutrition educator. She's currently a project manager for Kaiser Permanente's National Employee Wellness Program, Healthy Workforce, where she produced a series of cooking videos for employees. She's also produced videos for other nonprofit nutrition education programs, such as Cooking with Kids and Project Eat. In her private practice, Sprouts Nutrition, she works one-on-one with clients of all ages to guide them towards optimum health. And this is her first film. Hi, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Great to have you. So let's start off by talking about what inspired you to make this film. Shira, why don't you go first? Why did you decide to try to live on food stamps for a week?
Sure. So I was working at the time in Hayward, California, in a nutrition education program where I was teaching kids in low-income schools how to cook. And when we were teaching them how to cook, it occurred to me, you know, can these kids even afford to make what we're teaching them in class? And I decided that I wanted to try to take the food stamp challenge as a way for me to really identify with the kids that I'm working with and for me to be able to prove to them, to say, hey, you know what? You can eat healthy and here's how. And I was out to really show that you could. So I decided, let's take the food stamp challenge. And hey, my husband's a documentary filmmaker.
Ta-da.
let's film it and, you know, make a little YouTube video that we'll post on YouTube. That was kind of where it started. We did not envision it being a full-length documentary film. When we started the film, we just said, let's start it. Let's film it.
Right. And nor did she envision it being as hard as it turned out to be. I think we realized that, you know, what she thought was going to be easy or at least not too difficult turned out to be quite a challenge.
Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. I mean, for one, we had a lot of advantages going into it. We had a car, we had access to a great grocery store nearby with a lot of bulk foods, which are some of the best bang for your buck in terms of nutrition versus, you know, dollar amount.
I have knowledge of how to cook and knowledge of how to plan and how to eat healthy. We had time, you know, even though we both work full time, we don't have children. We're not working two jobs. So we had a lot of things on our side.
Right. But even with all of that, we found ourselves having to make these decisions, which for a lot of people would not be easy. I mean, okay, you know, are you actually able to afford cheese or coffee? Suddenly things that you might have routinely become luxuries. We wanted to eat in what we considered a truly healthy manner. So that didn't just mean trying to, you know, put the right pieces of the food pyramid together, but it really meant a strong preference for organic foods, especially any that are on what's called the Dirty Dozen list, mm-hmm. the most heavily sprayed crops. We really didn't want to buy any of those that were not organic, because those we really consider not healthy for you. I mean, they're cancer-causing. So once you start limiting your diet in all of those ways and trying to figure out with limited ingredients, how are you going to sustain yourself and hopefully keep your palate entertained along the way, it does become a challenge.
And buying organic is definitely a luxury. And we'll talk about the subsidies later, but it's so much more expensive than conventional.
Mm-hmm. It is. And in some cases, you know, at least where we were shopping, sometimes it was a little more expensive. And in those cases, we would go for it. But we didn't buy 100% organic.
Right.
We couldn't.
Right.
But we did what we could. And in some cases, we're lucky to live in California. And like, we had access to a great grocery store where, you know, the lettuce really wasn't much more than the non-organic lettuce. You know,
right.
Things like that. And
there are certain things that, again, you have to have the knowledge and the time.
Sure.
To really look at these differences and know, mm-hmm. you know, where what's maybe not as expensive and what is. And you come at this from an interesting perspective, Shira, because you're a nutrition educator. So before embarking on this journey, what were maybe some of the assumptions you had about food stamps, food stamp recipients, eating healthy, and what kind of surprised you over the course of working on this film? Did you have some assumptions about food stamps and food stamp recipients before working on this?
I mean, I had assumptions about... I guess I had assumptions that people who are on food stamps fit a certain stereotype. I think a lot of people have that stereotype. But as we made the film, not just doing the food stamp challenge, but being, you know, going out and interviewing people and meeting people on food stamps, you really see how diverse of a group of people it is. I mean, you see people who, you know, we had someone in our film who has a master's degree, you know, who has a chronic illness, who can't get health insurance. You know, you see families who maybe they just lost their jobs and they're in a tight pinch. I mean, it is really a diverse group of people, and it's growing more and more with, you know, with the economy and the state that it's in.
You point out in the film that contrary to many public misperceptions and media portrayals, the largest demographic of food stamp recipients over 50 are actually white. But as you point out in your film, in a lot of the B-roll we see about food stamp recipients, you see blacks.
That's right. That's right. So there's kind of you know, a visual story that's constantly being told to us through the media. And I think Newt Gingrich's comments about, you know, President Obama being the food stamp president, I mean, he's playing with that fire when he makes that remark. Ostensibly, what he's referring to is there's more people on food stamps than ever. But of course, that's the case. We're in a recession. And there was a recession. And that was true, you know, on George Bush's last days in office as well. But I didn't hear Newt Gingrich calling him a food stamp president. So we've tried to break through some of these stereotypes and kind of crack them open and show that, yes, right now more people are on food stamps than ever. And that means more people of all types. More people are struggling to look for work than ever. And one of the things that we would like to see as a result is that food stamps are less stigmatized. Mm-hmm. And I think that is happening because more and more people are realizing there is no shame in asking for a little help, especially simply just a little sustenance, not even money, but just, you know, money that can only be used to buy food when you've been out of work or when you're down on your luck or when perhaps the family member who was employed passes away or something along those lines. There really is no shame to that.
What I appreciate about the film is you touch on so many different issues, everything from how difficult it is to apply for food assistance. You talk about subsidies. You go to schools to talk about nutrition programs in schools. You go to a farm in Baltimore. So this is all so directly related. And coming out of a film about the prison system in California and then diving into something like this, Yoav, what really struck you? What really stood out for you on this journey?
I was making both films simultaneously. So Crime After Crime and Food Stamps, I was kind of going back and forth. You know, what struck me about making this film was how big of an issue it is and how one question, maybe you get to an answer, but it also gets to five more questions. Mm-hmm. And that's what led us from just starting, as Shira said, with us taking the food stamp challenge and seeking to make kind of a YouTube video diary about our experience, and how we then, by sharing that with other people, felt really compelled to go out and, well, we need to include some people who are really on food stamps in this film, not just us pretending. Well, that was clear. We should really talk to the members of Congress who took the food stamp challenge, find out what their perspective is, find out if they're willing to put their names on the line to try to institute reform for the better around the food stamp program. And looking then, you know, issues like school food, if you have kids in low-income communities whose families are benefiting from food stamps, well, what happens when they go to school and they're now being fed by the school? A whole range of things mm-hmm. happen, as we discovered, and we tried to include a sense of that range in the film.
Well, let's meet one of the food stamp recipients you interviewed. We're going to hear a clip from Richard. He is a preschool teacher, and he has been on and off food stamps for a number of years. He currently receives about $176 a month. And you, Shira, went to the grocery store with him, and you were kind of shocked by what he was buying, because he wasn't going to Berkeley Bowl. I mean, he was going to one of these massive grocery stores. Talk a little bit about what he put in his cart.
So we went shopping with Richard as soon as he got his monthly allotment, and he had a very he made a list, and he was very, you know, good about sticking to his list, but he made a lot of poor choices. He did buy some vegetables, you know, that, you know, he could use for about the first week or so, but he was shopping for a whole month. So he really had to make some choices. And he bought a couple of pallets or flats of ramen. He bought,
nutritional value at all, or very little.
Calories and, you know, carbohydrates, right. But yeah, very little nutritional value. He bought a very large, one of the largest packages of meat I think I've seen. It was a 10-pound package of meat.
It was a log of ground beef, basically. And it was really cheap. It was like $1.50 a pound. So you can't get ground beef that cheap in most other stores. And certainly, I mean, you compare that to the organic food that we like to eat, and you can spend, you know, that much on 1 or 2 pounds very, very easily. And he's getting 10 pounds. So in his view, it's a bargain. It can last him a while.
Right. And he knew that he was basically buying mystery meat, right?
Yeah,
he says, I know there's little white chunks in the beans.
It was pork and beans.
Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what this is, but I know it's mystery meat.
Right.
And that ground beef is really high fat.
Right.
Ground beef. So you're not getting the nutritional value you would from lean ground beef or anything like that.
And he also, I mean, he recognized that the ramen wasn't healthy, but he says, you know what? It's cheap, it's easy, and it's quick.
Well, let's hear a clip from Food Stamp. This is Richard, a preschool teacher who lives on food stamps.
I hate the embarrassment of going up to a register and saying, uh-oh, we're going to have to take things off. And it sucks. The embarrassment of having them tell you that at a register is really a bummer. You know, it's, you, first of all, now you've got to decide what stuff you want to have taken back. And now you're making the people in line behind you have to wait that much longer while you try to make those decisions and get it down to the range that you have to spend. So that's important to me. I hate that embarrassment. Now, did I keep this under $176?
You did. Good job.
But had Richard done a good job? True to his word, he proved to be an expert budget shopper, but his choices were typical of the high-calorie, low-nutrient standard American diet, which has two-thirds of Americans overweight or obese.
And that's a clip from the film Food Stamped, and you can see the film this Thursday at the 9th Street Independent Film Center, 145 9th Street in San Francisco at 7 o'clock. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Shira, you ask a very important question after that clip, and you say, is Richard to blame for this? Why are the cheap foods so often the ones that lack the nutrients we need?
Yes, that's a big question that we try to address in the film. And we look at, you know, the government food system and why is it that healthy food is so expensive and why is unhealthy food so cheap? And we look at the subsidy program as, you know, a big part of it. It's not the only part, but it is a big part of why junk food is the price that it is because a lot of it has the crops that are subsidized by the government, such as high fructose corn syrup or cheap meat that is fed with soy that's been subsidized. There's just a lot of government subsidies that go into commodity crops that go into these junk foods.
We've got about $4 billion in subsidies for corn, $2 billion for wheat, $2.5 billion for cotton, $2 billion for soybeans, and $430 million for rice. Now, when you went to Capitol Hill to talk to the politicians who took the food stamp challenge, I believe, are they all Democrats? Have any Republicans taken this food stamp challenge?
They were not only Democrats, but very left-leaning Democrats.
Okay, a lot from California, including Barbara Lee. Representative Barbara Lee.
Just one from California.
Okay.
Yes, Barbara Lee.
Barbara Lee.
And so they talked about feeling really tired. Barbara Lee said she couldn't concentrate when she was reading budgets. They ate mostly white bread, ramen, and peanut butter, and just felt just sort of out of it, right? Because you're not getting enough nutrients. Were you able to talk to them at all about subsidies?
Yeah, we did. They were opposed to the current subsidies, being so heavily in favor of corn and soy and these other commodities that essentially get processed into junk food when you just follow them, you know, through the path. You follow the money, and the money goes basically from your check to the U.S. Treasury to McDonald's and Taco Bell, because that money goes into the system that helps make the price of corn much, much cheaper, soy and all this other stuff that then becomes chips and cheap feed for meat and so on. So the few members of Congress who have taken the food stamp challenge.
And they are very few.
Yeah, they're the minority, but they are critical of the current subsidy system and would love to see it radically changed. So what it will take and what they said it will take is real political will on the part of the American people to influence other members of Congress and members of the Senate to attack those programs or attempt to modify those programs. And there's been, on the one hand, there has been some progress. There have been some subsidies now offered up for farmers to actually grow fresh fruits and vegetables. What a novel concept. But they
it's
are
a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, an absolute pittance compared to the billions and billions of dollars that are subsidizing essentially junk food.
We're speaking with Yoav and Shira Potash about their new film, Food Stamped. They both took the Food Stamp Challenge and document their experience in this new film. They also speak with people on food stamps. They go to farmers markets. They talk with the heads of nutrition departments in schools across the country. We will play clips of that, kind of a disturbing interaction you had, I thought, one of the more disturbing ones, a little later in the show. And then we're also talking about solutions here. They went to Capitol Hill to talk to the few politicians who have taken this food stamp challenge. And that basically means that they lived on food stamps for about a week and then talked about their experience. So we're talking also about subsidies. And we'd love to hear from you. If you've ever been, or if you're on food stamps, what's the experience been like? We're talking about an average of $1.20 per meal. So how are you able to eat? Are you able to eat healthy food on $1.20 a meal? If you are a business owner who accepts food stamps, what do your customers buy? What changes have you seen in the program? What changes would you like to see? And we're also talking about the changing face of food stamp recipients because of the ongoing economic crisis. You can join us at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you work for a food justice organization in the area, we often do shows about this. What changes would you like to see to the food system, and what are the best ways to get there? We're actually going to be doing a show about the farm bill in just a couple of weeks. The toll-free number, 866-798-8255. You can also leave a comment at yourcallradio.org or email feedback at yourcallradio.org. So, Shira, talking again about solutions, if the farm bill is getting a lot more attention, subsidies are now getting more attention, what do you think it will take to actually change the system? Because it seems like this is not sustainable. I mean, we're seeing obesity rates go through the roof. And, you know, a lot of people don't have options. You point out in your film that West Oakland, I mean, only recently did they get a co-op where they actually can buy fresh fruits and vegetables.
Sure. I think that it's going to take a revolution, and it's going to take change from the bottom and change from the top. It's been really exciting to see all of the political movement with the Occupy movement, and, you know, changing food systems is a big part of that. But, you know, we try to highlight a lot of the organizations that are working on the ground level to really address these problems. And those organizations are just multiplying and multiplying. I mean, we have traveled around the country showing this film, and everywhere we go, we meet people who are doing the most incredible work on the ground, you know, whether it's double dollars programs at farmers markets or...
What's double dollars?
A double dollars program at a farmers market is basically if you go to a farmers market with your food stamps, with your EBT card, you double your money there. So it makes it more affordable for people who are on food stamps to shop at a farmers market. Because a lot of times farmers markets are more expensive than the grocery store.
Right.
So this incentivizes people to shop at the farmer's market. They can get more for their money. They can support their local farmers. So that's a great program. There's great, you know, cooking programs with kids, cooking programs with families, farming programs like the one we went to in Baltimore, the Great Kids Farm, where they actually grow the food that is being used in the school system. So everywhere we go, there's just a lot of great grassroots organizations, but it's going to take that, and it's going to take change in politics in Washington, which in my opinion, you know, if campaign finance reform would be the big one there.
Well, and we're going to play a clip from the Baltimore City Schools Director of Food and Nutrition and the trip that you took to the Great Kids Farm right after a quick break. And you can join us. We're talking today about the food stamp program and food justice at 866-798-8255. It's your call. We'll be back after this.
KALA KLW has a free email newsletter. You can join more than 7,000 of your fellow listeners who get an email every week or two that keeps them aware of the diverse programming on local public radio, as well as opportunities to participate in station events. Just click the email newsletter link on the front page at klw.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. You can find more information about our show at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up. You can also like us on Facebook. Today we are talking about a new film, Food Stamped. And it is about the food stamp challenge taken by today's guests, Yoav Potash and Shira Potash. They documented their journey eating on food stamps, which is about $1.20 per meal. They also tackle a number of issues related to food justice. They go to farmers markets. They interview people on food stamps. They interview people in schools and working for food justice organizations. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have been or are on food stamps, how are you buying enough food? Are there some tips that you'd like to share with others about maybe where you can find cheaper food, cheaper organic food? And if you work for a food justice organization, we'd love to hear from you to talk about the kinds of changes you'd like to see and what it will take to get there. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. Yoav Potash is an award-winning filmmaker, writer, and social justice advocate. We did a show with him just a couple of weeks ago about his debut documentary, Crime After Crime, which is about the legal battle to free a victim of abuse from a California prison. Shira Potash is a certified nutrition educator. She's currently a project manager for Kaiser Permanente's National Employee Wellness Program, Healthy Workforce. She also has a private nutrition practice, Sprouts Nutrition, in which she works one-on-one with clients of all ages to guide them towards optimum health. And you can see Food Stamped this Thursday night at the 9th Street Independent Film Center, 145 9th Street in San Francisco. The film starts at 7:30, and you can find more information at yourcallradio.org. And let's go to a few callers. Let's hear from Lauren in Dallas. Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm calling because I am currently on food stamps. I have been for about 5 months. And I'm feeling like the conversation is a little bit dramatic because I shop organic. I'm able to buy meats and things that I didn't have a budget for previously. And what I realize, it's just a matter of what you're buying. You can't necessarily fill up your cart with a bunch of junk and expect to have fresh food and good meats. But every month at the end of the month, we have a little bit left over. It doesn't seem very realistic. We're talking about people's choices and what they're choosing to put in their bodies.
And can I ask you, what is your monthly allotment?
It's $250 for my son and I.
Okay, and is that what you use specifically on food, or do you add anything to that?
I mean, we can only use it on food.
Right, but you don't add any more money to that. It's $250 a month.
Yeah, no, I don't have to add any from my own, you know, pocket to it. No.
Okay. So it sounds like you're able to, you've been able to do it well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I shop at farmers markets. I shop, and no, it's not easy logistically, like having to, you know, we're talking about access to certain grocery stores and things like that. That's not easy.
Right.
But I have a child with food sensitivities, so I have to be kind of conscious of what I put into his body, into our meals. So I shop at food at farmers markets. I shop organically. I buy sustainable meats, a lot of dried beans, frozen vegetables, as well as fresh vegetables. And what I realized, like looking at my life when I wasn't on this particular budget, was that I bought a lot of things that went to waste previously. Mm. And so, you know, shopping for lots of fresh vegetables that I didn't have time to cook or something like that.
Right.
So I've seen families with cartfuls of junk and ramen and white bread and things, but I think those are just choices and just the society that we live in. But as far as the actual like what you're able to buy. Now I feel like the conversation's just a little bit dramatic, and I look at conversations I've had with my friends previous to me being in this position and being sort of the like minds as the, you know, the filmmakers and everything. And I just, it's not completely realistic, you know, once you're on it. It has to do with the individual's choices and then society and how people grow up and are conditioned to think about food and what they put in their bodies.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job. It sounds like you're doing all the right things. Let me ask you, how old is your son right now?
He's a toddler, so he's not, you know, scarfing down food.
Okay, wait till he's a teenager. I'm going to be curious to see if you're saying the same thing, if you were in the same situation and he's a teenager who really, you know, eats perhaps twice as much food as you, and you would probably be getting the exact same allotment regardless of your child's age at that point. The other factor at play, or that unfortunately might be worse when your son is a teenager if things don't change, is right now what's happening is every year junk food is getting a little bit cheaper, about 4 or 5% cheaper, and every year produce is getting much more expensive, about 15 to 20% more expensive. So if that trend continues, you're right, you might be okay right now with you having what sounds like excellent shopping and cooking and planning habits, but in 10 years and 15 years, the situation at the store could be worse. And, of course, your son, without a doubt, your son is going to be eating lot more. The last thing I'll ask you is, how much time do you spend a week, do you think, cooking, shopping, planning, that sort of thing?
I mean, I spend the same amount of time that I did before becoming a parent, before even being on food stamps.
Okay, so, yeah, you've developed good habits, which is great.
Right. I spend the same. And, you know, like I said, what I realized before was, like, I can't buy a lot of junk. I can't buy a lot of waste. I don't shop buying everything at the beginning of the month just because you have this amount of money at the beginning of the month. And so you don't end up having to waste a lot. And I like beans, so that's pretty cheap, you know. But it has to do with, you know, like I said, it has to do with the choices people make. I don't think you need to buy, like, tons of bags of Doritos, you know, and that adds up. So that's just my opinion. And, yes, I know it changes for families with, once you have more than one child, the amount added on is not as much, et cetera, et cetera. But we've managed to do pretty well and also, you know, have food to share as far as people come over or anything like that. So I just, like I said, I wanted to just sort of interject that, you know, from someone who has been on it, who is on it currently.
Lauren, this is Shira. I just want to commend you. I think that you are you're definitely the exception to the rule, but I think that, you know, you're a great role model. And we did, you know, we interviewed people who I think were really similar to you in that are doing really well in feeding their families really healthy food. Like, we go to a farmer's market and we interview food stamp recipients, and one of the women there, you know, talks about how she uses her EBT at the farmer's market and really does a good job. And she has a toddler too, and she feeds her family really delicious organic food. She trades with farmers for, you know, vegetables, and I think she makes pies and she trades them. So
are you talking about Layla?
Lorelei,
thank you. Yes, actually, we've got a clip from Lorelei, so let's play that. And this is Lorelei at the farmer's market in the film Food Stamped.
Emily and I went on food stamps about a year ago when the economy took a downturn. My partner is in home improvement and construction, and the jobs kind of dried up. So myself and my son and my partner are receiving not quite the maximum benefit, and we're really happy that we can use it at the farmer's market and support the local economy. And it's really important to me to be able to buy local, organic, high nutrient, really delicious food for my family, and I'm really appreciative of the fact that I can use my food stamp benefits for that end.
And that is Lorelei at the farmer's market in the film Food Stamped. And thank you, Lauren, for calling in. And let's go to our next caller, Jocelyn in Santa Cruz. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted, well, I I disagree with the previous caller, but good for her. I'm a UC Santa Cruz student, and I've been on food stamps for 2 years now. I know I'm not what people think of when they think of maybe someone who's on food stamps, but I know that at our financial aid office, there's posters everywhere. I mean, a lot of students that I know are on food stamps, and I work full-time and go to school, and I've found that and I get less than she does, obviously, because I don't have a child. But I found that in order to make the amount that I get work for healthy food, I try to eat mostly fruits and vegetables. I rarely even eat meat. And it's hard, especially if you're shopping at somewhere like Safeway, where you know that the amounts are the prices are higher. I'm impressed by the previous caller, but I just have found that it's very different, and it takes a lot more time to be able to make the amount work in a healthy way, you know. And it's tempting. I can see how it's tempting to live off of ramen. I mean, $1.20 a meal, it just isn't barely possible.
And Jocelyn, what is your monthly allotment?
I get a little less than 200.
Okay, 200 a month.
Yeah, and if I eat fruits and vegetables, that goes very quickly. Which is true. If I were to eat only frozen, then that would help. But I try to go to the farmer's market on Wednesdays, and it's wonderful to be able to use it there. But I don't think it encourages a healthy way of eating, and especially of people who already don't have access generally to healthier food.
And are a lot of students on food stamps? Do you know?
I know personally 4 to 5 of my friends who are. You have to be in a really certain, like a very specific financial situation, but our financial aid office is one of the first things that they recommend to students.
And is there a food bank on campus? Because I know there is one at UC Davis.
You know what? I've heard that there is one, but I know that it hasn't been operating recently.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But there is, and then I know people who actually, and truthfully I've done it too, have gone to the Salvation Army down the street to get, you know, at the end of the month, your bag of milk and bread. Because I can't afford to add anything at all to what my food stamps allot.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like, Jocelyn, you are an example of the changing face of America that we talk about in the film. It's not what most people picture when they think of a University of California student, that they are on food stamps and perhaps, you know, collecting some food here and there at the Salvation, you know, mm-hmm. Army or a local food bank or that sort of thing. But this is the reality of where things are at today. And that's why, on the one hand, I think it is really decreasing the amount of shame and stigma associated with food stamps, and hopefully that lends to the media sort of not demonizing food stamp recipients, or at least less so than in the past. And with regard to how difficult it is, you know, I think what you're saying about, yes, once you start wanting to consume fruits and vegetables as much as the USDA says you should, you're going to be in a financially challenged position. Our previous caller did mention she liked beans a lot. And, you know, you could nickname the food stamp challenge that how much lentils do you eat challenge. But I think your experience really, really speaks to what we found.
Well, thank you again for calling in, Jocelyn. And let's hear next from Marcia in San Francisco. Hi, Marcia. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks very much for this show. I can't give you much help about what the allotment is nowadays, because my experience with food stamps was quite a few years ago. But I did have 2 teenage sons, and it was a surprise when I couldn't work anymore. I discovered that the first thing to do is to talk to your kids or the other members of the family. Do you want to eat or drink dried milk, reconstituted milk? Or do you want to have real butter? Or sit down and talk about it? Because if everybody buys in, it's a lot less painful.
Hmm.
The other thing is, and this may not sound very nice, but it's what we did. My teenage boys talked it over with each other, and I didn't find out about it for weeks. They joined two different churches so that they could go to the Sunday church lunch, and they ate a lot at the Sunday church lunch. I discovered that a chicken A whole chicken is usually, or was back when I did it, the very best buy. What you do is you roast the chicken, and you save all of the bones, and you make the soup from the bones, and then beans are your salvation. little beans, and nobody ever found out about the reconstituted milk that went in the beans to make them a complete protein. But what you need to do is talk to your family and find out what trade-offs they're going to make. Also, if I had had to work while I was living with two teenagers on food stamps, I couldn't have done it because everything took forever.
I think you bring up...
I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't had a car either.
I think you bring up a lot of really good points. Thank you so much for calling in. The chicken, I agree with you 100%. We do the same thing, and it makes a great stock, actually, using the carcass to make a stock, and it's a way to really use the whole animal. But thanks so much. We agree that the time is a really huge part of the barriers that people face when trying to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm. And the other part of what you brought up in the call is that people are reaching out more to the community agencies like churches and food banks and other organizations that can assist them. And there's actually a cycle that we highlight in the film where people tend to go to the grocery store at the beginning of the month once they've received their food stamp benefits. But at the end of the month, as they've run out of money they can actually spend at a grocery store, they tend to turn more to the churches and food banks to try to fill that gap.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Marcia. And we've got about 10 minutes left with Yoav and Shira Potash talking about the new film Food Stamped. They took the Food Stamp Challenge. They documented their experience, but they also took a journey into the issues of food justice, talking to people who work at schools, who work on farms, politicians, talking to food justice advocates about subsidies and the farm bill. So if you have any questions or comments, we've got about 10 minutes left at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at Your Call Radio, or better yet, post at yourcallradio.org so others can see it and we can get a conversation going. And let's hear next from Alex in Hayward. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. I'm not on food stamps currently. I need to get down there just so every time I go, it's just so busy. But anyway, I'm homeless, and I always want to pass this tip on to people that, like the earlier caller that said that you couldn't afford vegetables. Well, I go to 99, and I avoided it for a long time because I thought, yuck, go to a 99-cent store to buy food, yuck, right? Well, I haven't had much luck with fruits except bananas, but vegetables, you go to any 99-cent-only store, and they have the fresh fruit section where they have salads, you know, 1 pound of baby spinach, all washed, all packaged up, so you don't, and it's all sealed up. You can eat it like that because I'm homeless, so I like doing it like that. And 99 cents, you can't beat that. They have broccoli, they have carrots in the package, or broccoli all by itself, a pound package for 99 cents. I have found no problems at all with their vegetables whatsoever. It's a heck of a value. But like I say, the fruits I've had a problem with. But they have pickles and all of that in the jars for 99 cents. Don't bring your kids if you can, because there's a lot of junk in there.
Mm-hmm.
There is. But if you're looking for the vegetables and for like pickles for 99 cents, you can't go wrong with those. And crackers, but just a lot of junk in there. You have to be careful. But yogurt for 39 cents, I think the 6 ounce cups, whatever. Brand names, all fresh. I've never had any problems with it. Milk for 99 cents. I think it's the quart size. 99 cents.
Thank you so much. That's
you're welcome.
That sounds like better than the McDonald's 99 cents meals for sure. So that's a great tip, and thanks for sharing it.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in, Alex. And we have an email from Al who says, how about challenging both presidential candidates, Romney and Obama, to take the food stamp challenge? I'd suggest doing it nationwide with as much publicity as possible and pursue the candidates relentlessly until they take the challenge, until the election.
I think that would be phenomenal. I don't have a realistic picture of it happening. The other thing I want to say just about the previous caller is, you know, a lot of people have their own little secrets or tips about how to do this, of course. Everyone has their own ideas about food, and everyone has their own ideas about how to save money. Just one precaution I would say about places like the 99-cent store is at least try to be aware of what's called the dirty dozen, meaning those most pesticide-sprayed crops, because I'm pretty sure everything at the 99-cent store is probably not organic. Maybe they get some things organic, but in any case, you really wouldn't want to avoid, you don't want to consume those crops that are really heavily sprayed, because they do cause cancer. And regardless of what a bargain they are, you should try to watch out for that list.
But at the same time, a head of non-organic broccoli is better than a Big Mac at McDonald's.
That's true. That's true.
Or Top Ramen.
Or yes. Top Ramen.
Yes, there's no organic exactly. Big Mac or Top Ramen anyway. So yes, eat the broccoli if you can.
All right. Well, thank you again. Let's hear next from Naomi in Monterey. Hi, Naomi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to say I recently have been on food stamps. I've never been on them for the past 15 years. But I do believe that I can eat healthy. I am currently a single parent with a 14-year-old son with a very healthy appetite who was even in cross-country running and so forth and even hungrier as a grown teen and added that athletic part to his hunger. But I do shop at local grocery stores. I also shop at Costco. They accept food stamps in our area. So that has been very beneficial. I've also changed a couple of things. I don't buy a lot of prepackaged foods. Occasionally, you know, I do buy a couple of snacks, but I don't load the cart with a lot of fillers and chips and cookies, and I don't eat Top Ramen. And I cook a lot of homemade foods. We eat a lot of casseroles. We also eat a lot of soup. I do a lot of quesadillas with fresh avocados. And I wasn't on food stamps. I used to eat out quite a bit. I was working more full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the favorite things I've liked to eat at restaurants, and I've incorporated some of those elements into my cooking. Also, I have a friend who's introduced me to kale drinks.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, I take the bananas that I buy at the grocery store that are very inexpensive, and I freeze some of those, or I make a banana bread if they become too ripe. So
right. That's great. I mean, I think that the bottom line for everybody out there is the more food you actually make yourself, the more you actually prepare your own food, the more you are eating healthy. Nobody salts their food as much as these fast food restaurants as they do all the processed food like Doritos and so on. And it sounds like you are making a lot of your own food, which is really a healthy way to go. And then everyone has to, make their own set of choices within that framework. But definitely one of the things we intended to do with the film is really have people walk out of the theater or away from the television feeling inspired, feeling like they want to be more involved with their food, with where they buy it, how they prepare it, whether or not they're on food stamps, knowing where their food is grown, possibly being involved even in how it's grown in some circumstances.
And while we did face challenges during our food stamp challenge, we also ate pretty well. And we posted all of our recipes on our website, www.foodstamped.com. You can go there and you can see some of these recipes. We've done some screenings around the country where organizations have actually prepared the recipes from our website and served them.
Mm-hmm. And people can also submit their recipes. It seems like there's a lot of people suggesting recipes on the radio today. Today. So email them in to foodstamped.com, visit our website and send them in, and then we can post them there for everyone to see.
We had a caller who said his sister gets about $49 a month. I mean, how can you live on $49 a month?
Yeah, some of the lower amounts that people receive It's almost a slap in the face.
Yeah, the minimum, well, I think, is 10.
Well, and this is $10. What I want to ask you, because we only have a few minutes left, but I have to ask you about this food stamp fraud that gets so much attention. And the USDA just last week, and I should mention, you tried to get the USDA to talk to you and they refused. They just announced that they're going to give states more power to investigate people who claim to lose their benefit cards. Apparently, they're selling them on eBay and Craigslist. So we're talking about a $75 billion program. Food stamp fraud costs about $750 million a year. That's about 1% of the food stamp program. 92% of their budget is spent on recipients. Only 8% goes to admin costs. So it sounds like an incredibly efficient program. What are your thoughts on the USDA doing this? I mean, it got a ton of coverage last week.
I think, you know, the USDA seems to be great at sending mixed messages, and they send them every day by, on the one hand, having food and nutrition education programs, and then, on the other hand, subsidizing the junk. And this, to me, is another example of a mixed message coming out of the USDA, saying, on the one hand, yes, we support people having access to food, people who can't afford food otherwise. And on the other hand, you know, it sort of mythologizes this sense that we really need to crack down, and it's a huge problem. I'm very, very confident that the problems with fraud and waste are far worse in other branches of the federal government right now. And I haven't heard about a big crackdown on
financial fraud
or all of the contractors that we have working for the U.S. military all over the world right now that are, you know, essentially ripping us off left and right every day. And so on the one hand, you know, there shouldn't be fraud in any program, and including the food stamp program. But
with these cards, you have to buy food, right? You cannot even buy toilet paper and things like that.
You have to buy food.
Right. So the fraud that's being alleged is simply that someone who was supposed to buy food with a card, for whatever reason, wanted to get money instead and sold that card to someone else who's now going to buy food. So, you know, the fact is the dollars are still going towards food. If some people are figuring out a way to skim something off the top, you know, that happens all the time in all kinds of branches of business. And I don't think it's really fair to single out the food stamp program as if it's the source of this type of activity.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I really wanted to ask you that question. So thank you both for joining us, Yoav Potash and Shira Potash. Shira is a certified nutrition educator. Yoav is an award-winning filmmaker. The new film is called Food Stamped, and you can see it this Thursday at the 9th Street Independent Film Center, 145 9th Street. Networking and drinks are at 7 o'clock. The film begins at 7:30, and they will both be there for a Q&A. Thank you for joining us.
Our pleasure.
And thank you so much for your emails and phone calls. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. Here's what's coming up tomorrow. What do you remember about San Francisco and Northern California in the 60s and 70s? There was the Summer of Love, the kidnapping of Patty Hearst, Jim Jones, and the murders of George Moscone and Harvey Milk. Salon founder David Talbot chronicles these turbulent times in his new book, Season of the Witch, Enchantment, Terror, and Deliverance in the City of Love. He says the culture wars of that time gave us what we now consider San Francisco values. How do you define San Francisco values? It's Your Call with Holly Kernan and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast or newsletter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is the executive producer. Pete Misick is our web editor, and Becca Hoekstra is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Debbie Kennedy is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and produced by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.
Hello, this is Chuck Feeney of Your Legal Rights. If your child has been a victim of bullying or has been accused of being a bully at school, please join me this Wednesday evening at 7 on Your Legal Rights. My guests will be San Mateo County Deputy District Attorney James Wade, Certified Specialist in Criminal Law Jeff Hayden and Garrett Rutgers, and Rick Phillips, the Executive Director of Community Matters, an organization promoting violence prevention in schools. That's this Wednesday evening at 7 here on 91.7 KLW San Francisco.
Wednesday evening at 7, Your Legal Rights. Right here on 91.7 KALW San Francisco Local Public Radio, online at kalw.org. The time is 11 o'clock. Time for World Have Your Say from the BBC.
I'm Ros Atkins. Welcome to the BBC's World Have Your Say. We're going to continue to focus on Hulu.
We are at a tipping point. The Syrian people do not want their future to be one of bloodshed and division.
As the diplomatic pressure builds on President Assad, there's pressure too on the media from some of you. The accusation is that some outlets have used the Hula massacre to promote their own agendas. Now, some journalists happily plead guilty to this. They argue that Hula is the latest example of why it's important to report what's happening, but also to campaign on what to do next. We're going to be joined by editors and correspondents from across the world to respond to your questions and concerns and to explain how they've reported the story and why. You can leave messages for them at facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay.